Hallelujah. God's been good to us, hasn't he? God's been good. Has God been good to you? Well, let's just prepare our hearts. Let's just release faith. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you what you've already done this morning in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, we call your word true. We know that you're faithful to watch over your word, to perform it, to fill it up, and to make it real and convert it into flesh in our life. We thank you that the truth liberates us and brings us to places that we could not get on our own. You've given us an anointing that abides on the inside. We pray, Father, that be stirred up today, activated, and brought in line with the truth, brought in line with the word of God. Lord, we receive bread from heaven. We receive light, revelation, knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in part three of our series, Faith, Family, and Freedom. We thought we'd celebrate Faith, Family, and Freedom this month, being the July month where we celebrate our nation's freedoms and liberties, and for which we are so thankful. This country it was founded by God, established in the principles of God, and the enemy is mad. And he's throwing temper tantrums all over the place because he can't have his little way. And he will never have his way. Even, I'm telling you, I've studied this out, and I've heard many things. But he finally gets to anoint somebody. He's called the Antichrist. Finally gets to anoint somebody. And within just a little bit of time, Armageddon comes and he's done. Gone. The devil is irredeemable. He is sadistical, mean, nasty, vile. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it all by himself because he's a liar and the father of lies. We have a media that is doing nothing but speaking the language of the devil. They are liars. Amen? We have many who are in public office who are speaking the language of the devil. What this boils down to is oppression, and we're going to talk about today, this is our subtitle, is Freedom from Oppression. Woo! Glory to God! I want you to know something today. Oppression has no legal right in your mind, and that's where it starts. It all starts in your mind. And it takes advantage of the truth that you do not know. Jesus said to those who believed on him, they already believed in him, if you continue in my words, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Friends, it's not the truth that makes you free. It's the truth that you know that makes you free. And if you don't know the truth, the devil will take advantage of everything you don't know, and he'll try to slip one in on you. That's the way he is. He's a thief. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, the Bible gives us, in fact, reveals to us one of the most overused tactics of Satan, and it's his use of oppression. From the earliest records of time, we see how the enemy has mobilized his people, the godless people, against the godly. And again, I'm talking about the earliest records. This goes back to Cain and Abel. That's pretty early history, isn't it? That's 6,000 years ago. Cain resented the righteous acts of Abel. Abel's righteousness exposed Cain's own unrighteousness, his own selfishness, his own laziness. Rather than repent and turn to God, he chose to act on the impulses of his fallen nature and murdered Abel, thus setting a pattern we still see in the world today. The righteous and the righteous acts of God's people are mocked, ridiculed, undermined, and sabotaged by the ungodly. Why? Because our righteousness exposes their darkness and reveals their shame. It leaves them naked with no excuse, and that's why they hate us. You guys hear? I mean, there's a reason for all of this. God, let God just lift up the curtain a little bit and show you what's behind the scenes here. Interesting note here, though. Do you know that Cain murdered Abel, but no capital punishment wasn't administered to him? You ever realize that? You know why? There's no law. There was no law against murder. There was nothing stated. See, there's a difference between transgression and iniquity. Transgression is when you cross a known barrier. You know it's wrong, but you do it. That's transgression. Iniquity, the definition is lawlessness. And that's what was birthed into our heart when Adam sinned. That's what was birthed into his heart, and it was passed down to us. It's a fallen nature. So Cain, now later, God instituted, he judged murder. And later he put it in the law, thou shalt not murder. But at this time, there was no capital punishment for him. I thought that was kind of interesting. So today, people are restrained from some extent from that time on when God judged murder. From that time on, to a certain extent, people were restrained from murder. So the devil had to figure out another way to ruin God's will working in people's lives. And that is the tactic of oppression. That's what it's designed to do, is to stop God's will from coming to fruition in your life. You know, you can trace history too. You can trace Enoch. Don't tell me Enoch wasn't persecuted. But you see, with the righteous, the more they're persecuted, the louder they get in preaching righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, it says in 2 Peter 2. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. We can be assured that his preaching was not well received. How do we know that? Well, because after 120 years of building the ark and preaching righteousness, there were still only 8, his own family, that made it into the ark. If one of those people received his message and what he said, this is how dark the world was. It was bad. In fact, the flood was actually God's mercy in preserving mankind for the plan of redemption to be fulfilled. If he didn't judge the world, there wouldn't have been a virgin left for Jesus to come through. You can count on that. We're talking total darkness. These people, sin needed to be judged. And it gets to a point where God's judgment kicks in. Amen? Here's something else. Back in the late 80s or early 90s, I started getting interested in the genealogies in the Bible. And I got this poster board, and I marked it down. I started with Adam and ended with Jesus. And marked down the times of their lifespan, how old they were when they had babies, and they grew up, and how old they were. Did you know Noah lived 350 years after the flood? And this is what I found out. I had a little calculator, a little Texas Instrument calculator at the time. We didn't have iPhones. So it was, and I calculated this, and I did it like 5 or 6 times, and I came out the same way every time. When Noah died, Abraham was 50 years old. That was startling to me. 950 years. Noah was 900. Now, the oldest living one was Methuselah. He lived 969 years. And you know what Methuselah means? It means when I die, the end comes. That's basically what it means. He died the year of the flood. That's the kind of revelation that Enoch was walking in when he named him. So if they, in walking in the midst of darkness, had such light on the inside of them, We have a covenant that far exceeds anything that they even could conceive of. How come we can't walk in the light? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. He'll have the light of life. Come on, we got to get lit. We've got to understand that the life of God is in us. We are born again, new creations. The life of God is in us, and there is no reason for us to sink down into the mud of this. We are the mud that Satan has to swim through in order to do anything. Because he can't do anything without our permission.
Amen. Hmm.
Isn't that good? Woo, glory to God. See, you can read all this in the Bible. Those are amazing findings. But the more you, and I did something else with the names of God in Genesis. That is a fascinating thing. Their names spell out the plan of redemption. The meanings behind their name. I'll do that maybe next week or something. But Ishmael. Now, Ishmael was Abraham's mistake. He tried to help God. That's the symbol of Ishmael, is trying to help out God in his plan for us. He doesn't need our help. He needs our cooperation. Amen? There's a big difference there. You know, we think we're helping out God sometimes, and you're not helping. Hear what he says, and then he needs your cooperation. So Ishmael, when Isaac was the son of promise. We know that from the time of circumcision on. Ishmael became before that. Ishmael and Isaac was born through that covenant of circumcision after that, and Isaac was the son of promise. I don't want to get too graphic here, but that's, you know, it's there. Ishmael oppressed Isaac. Ishmael was banished. Esau came against Jacob after, and this was his fault. He sold out the birthright to Jacob, and Jacob had conned Isaac out of the blessing. So Jacob, he's a thief. He later got his life straightened out, but he stole the blessing and the birthright in his zeal because he wanted God. And he didn't know how else to get it. Esau came against Jacob. They finally did reconcile at the end. Pharaoh oppressed the children of Israel. Oppress, oppress, oppress. How did he do it? He enslaved them. After the children of Israel came into their inheritance, the promised land, they were persecuted by the Philistines, the Syrians, the children of Ammon and Moab, the Midianites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and many others that would continually just bombard. I'll tell you, I just thought of three jokes. You know, we used to. Lori and I started off in a nursing home ministry back in 2000 and as an outreach of the church we were in, and that grew. We were operating in four different homes, and I used to love to say to the people, if you can't hear me, would you raise your hand? And but we like to tell jokes, and when we told jokes and they started laughing and everything, there wasn't a dry seat in the place. But wow. So, but, you know, you got to lighten up in the midst of everything, in every situation. And we were looking at people who could hardly even get up out of the, they had to wheel them into the cafeteria, the place. And our hearts were just full of love for these people. And we loved them so much. And we preached salvation to them. And literally saw salvations occur. We ushered people into heaven, you know, at their bedside. And it was, you know, what a privilege. What a privilege. We had families come to us and say, yeah, they go to this church over here, but would you do their funeral because you're really their pastors? And we were honored that way. And it was just wonderful. But no matter where you are, the devil would always try. And I remember these days, too, and this might be true in your life. After you witness somebody or after a good experience, you know, the devil always tries to come back and hammer your mind. You should have said this. You're a liar. You're a liar. You're a hypocrite. He tries everything he can to subvert this mind and dominate it. Turn to Acts chapter 10, please. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses. And remember this, that my people, God says, are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. All right. We're going to look at this in a brand new way today. But first of all, let's do our weekly confession. I'm sorry, John, if I got ahead of you. John tries to keep up with me, and sometimes I change tracks. I jump on another train. But thank you, John. You're appreciated very much, brother. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus is talking to Cornelius, a Roman soldier in Caesarea. And he sent for Peter because he had a vision of an angel. And Peter shows up and says, wow, of a truth, I see that God is no respecter of persons. And then he said, you heard that word that was published throughout all of Israel, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This verse gives us a whole lot of insight and revelation of what it takes to bring healing, deliverance, and power and wholeness to mankind. Number one, how God anointed Jesus. Word anointed means to smear, to rub with oil, to consecrate, or to install in an office of authority. You know, you can look at this. If you have an anointing that abides, God has he has installed you into an office of ministry that is so far above anything the devil can throw at you. Why listen to those things? We don't have to. You don't have to. And by the way, people say, well, you know, you talk about hearing from God and you know, God said this to me. He doesn't speak in words like we hear each other in these things. That's not what he speaks to. It's not words. It's intuitions. It's impulses. It's thoughts that he conveys. But yet, those same people say, you know, you're speaking like God just speaks to you. Yeah, I do, because he does. Amen. Those same people say, you know, the devil said this to me. Does the devil talk in words? Or with impulses and thoughts? And he tries to mimic God. It's the same thing. God speaks. You know, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, everybody had these. Thank you. But hear. Hear with the heart. I'm not the teacher. Pastor Tom is not the teacher. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. That's the voice you should be listening to as you're listening to me. The Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you into all truth. Amen. Amen? I can deliver a small package, but he's the one who opens it up and says, here it is! Amen? Amen? He smears you, rubs you. Power. God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power. You know what that word power is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. You want to blow up the devil's operation? And drive a hole in it so big you can drive a train through it. You got it right in you. It's resident. It's in your spirit. Dunamis power is in your spirit. Amen. You say, well, I didn't think we got that until we got the Holy Ghost. No. Romans 8, I believe 9 says that we have the same. We have the spirit of Christ in us when we were born again. You know what Christ means? The anointed one and his anointing. When you're born again, you have the spirit of the anointing on the inside of you. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, that kind of unties and lets it out. Dunamis. Dunamis power. There's a difference between born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. The word power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good. You know, healing is good. sickness is bad. God is a good God. The devil is a bad devil. It's really simple. And Christians is complicated, saying God gave me this for a reason. No, he doesn't give sickness for a reason. He doesn't give sickness for anything. He gives healing. It's sickness comes from the devil and sin. I don't have time to go into sickness is oppression. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Healing means to cure or make whole. It's dunamis that is needed to make a person whole. Let me say that again. It's supernatural dunamis power that's required to make a person whole. Or to cure someone. Or to bring healing. It's dunamis that brings a cure. It's dunamis that crushes the oppressor and pulls oppression up by the roots. He uproots the wrong thinking that invites oppression. He uproots torn emotions by the root and heals them supernaturally. His power is something else, and nothing is left out. Now, if people say, well, I'll be healed spiritually. No, your spirit doesn't need healing. Your spirit is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. Your spirit man on the inside is the righteousness of God in Christ, and that was sealed that way. Now you still have a flesh and a mind that you've got to renew and a flesh that you have to crucify in this life. And if you do miss it, hey, put your faith in that blood. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's not one second that you should ever feel guilt or condemnation or carry it around with you. Don't let it in. Renew your mind. Say, God has delivered me. What does Romans 8:1 say? There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ. None. No. Nada. At all. Wiped clean. I like that. Amen. If that isn't shouting ground, nothing is. To oppress, it's a compound word. Of kata, which means to put to the charge of or to be ruled over, and dunastes, which means a ruler or officer, one who is mighty, even like a potentate. You put them together and it means dominated, ruled, and subjected under the rule of another. To be dominated by anything is to be oppressed. God doesn't dominate us. He liberates us. Yeah. Amen? Amen? God will not force his will on anybody. You know what the devil does? The devil forces his will on people through sickness. And they don't have a choice. That's oppression, when you don't have a choice. Jesus came and gives you a choice. He said to the man at the pool, "Do you want to be healed?" He gave him a choice. Was it God's will? Yeah, it was God's will. Does it happen automatically? No. And I want to correct something too. People, I got a question. We were golfing one day. One of the guys said, "Hey, I got a question. You know, you said that God isn't in control of anything, of everything." And I said, that's not really right what I said. I said, everything that happens in this world is not God's will. But if you don't think that God declared the end from the beginning and he will have all his good pleasure, you're mistaken. He will. The decision is yours whether you want to participate in it or not, because he's not going to force his will on anybody. If everything that happened in this world was God's will, that every murder would be totally justified then, because it's God's will somehow. I remember a guy sat in my office one time. He says, "Well, you know, I've been sick most of my life with various things, and you know, God's taught me a lot through that sickness, all these sicknesses." And I said, "Okay, what did you learn? What did he teach you?" He couldn't answer. Oh, no, he said one thing. He learned. He gave me patience through it. This guy in his denomination had been through all of these categories of teaching. And to get him into be an ordained or a licensed minister or whatever. And it's like, you got to get with the program here. How confusing would it be if you go to God and you don't know whether he's going to make you sick or heal you? Or whether he wants to prosper you or you to be poor. Where's the line? You know, where there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work. Confusion is not of God. He is very clear. This is my will. This is not my will. You can walk in it if you want. If all through the Old Testament, if my people, if you do this, this will, if everything that happened was God's will, there would be no ifs. There would be no conditions. There would be no choices to make. You'd be robots. You know, if I had, let's say I was a young man and I wanted a wife who did everything I wanted her to do. And I had the technology, I could make this robot into a perfect woman who would just do it. Everything that I wanted, be at my beck and call, do this. Would I respect her? Would there be fellowship there? No, I would be dominating her. But it's so beautiful when she looks at me and says, I love you, because she wants to. Not because she's doing it because I made something that will do everything I want. You see the difference? God wants that relationship with us, and he wants the choice to be yours. That was why there was a tree in the garden in the first place, because he didn't want robots. That should be a blinding flash of the obvious. Those who seek to dominate others are really masters of their own condemnation. Think of it. Once you start to manipulate and dominate others, it becomes a very slippery slope, and the ultimate end is murder. Cain and Abel. The resolve is the old socialist answer that says, if you can't dominate them, eliminate them. This is what they did to Trump for 4 years, didn't they? They couldn't dominate him. I mean, they couldn't use money. I mean, he had all the money. He can't even spend the money he has. So he was unpurchasable. He was. They couldn't manipulate him. They couldn't dominate him. So all they could do is try to destroy him. And after 4 years and millions of dollars in these investigations, they found absolutely nothing. And during all of that opposition, think of this. During all of that opposition that he got, day in and day out, hammered by a media, hammered by the left side, hammered by lies, deceit, and everything, manipulation, trying to slur him and accuse him of everything that he didn't do. He still accomplished more than any other president in the history of the United States, with the exception maybe of Abraham Lincoln and maybe George Washington. The only president ever to honor Israel the way he did. The only president to honor life the way he did. Pro-life, pro-Israel. He got us totally energy independent. And now look, we are paying the very people for their oil who have sworn to kill us. You got to have outside help to be that stupid. Was that too blunt? I can be more blunt. No, he never did. And he kept his cool. What's this, some kind of a political rally? No, this is truth. When God created man, he didn't create him to be dominated. He created him to have dominion. Amen. Whether it be governments, high-tech, oligarchies, media, or anything else, he didn't create men to dominate other men. He gave each man dominion. The right, the privilege, and the authorization was to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That was given to all men by God, regardless of race, culture, background, upbringing, or the lack of it. The understanding of dominion is something God breathed into Adam at the very beginning and was passed on to all of us. So what happens is man has this sense of dominion on the inside, but he doesn't know how to use it, so he tries to dominate other people, other people, other people. You know what leaders do? They find people's strength and start to lift them up. Leaders don't cave in to public opinion, they form it. I've heard some pretty good tripe lately. I want to tell you something. Back in the Revolutionary War, they had the Black Robe Regiment, and if it wasn't for them, we would not have won. Those were preachers from the pulpit who were uniting the people against tyranny. And those people stood. We would not have won the Revolutionary War without them. We would not have won the Revolutionary War without John Adams, without Samuel Adams, without many people that I'm reading about now in this wonderful book called Revolutionary Leadership. It's about these heroes of the Revolutionary War and what they were able to accomplish through leadership skills that they had, that they were taught in school, that are not being taught in our schools now. History that is not being taught in our schools now. You see, this is why the devil wants to destroy monuments. He wants to destroy art forms that depict our history so that he can wipe it out. You know why? Because if you're ignorant, he can destroy you. He can keep you in that loop of ignorance for as long as he can, so you make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Never learn from them. Never put them away. And all the naysayers, all the anti-American people, show me one country that has done more for human rights, for individual rights, for civil rights than this country. Name one of them. One! And not one of them lives up to their standards, because they keep on getting higher and higher and higher until they get so foolish. It's not even, they don't know the difference between men and women. They don't know the difference between anything, right and wrong. So we're going to declare what's right and wrong. Since they're not teaching it in the schools, we'll teach it from here. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And we'll become that uniting force in righteousness things. Now, if you encounter somebody who believes the wrong thing, love them. Don't hate them. Absolutely. You know, it's to the point now where people, they, if they disagree with you, they don't want to talk with you. They just want to talk louder than you. Right. Walk away from them. And keep your self-respect. And be happy. That's what drives them to distraction. We were not created to be dominated. Remember, if you're dominated, if you're under the dominion of something, you are oppressed. If you're under the dominion, if you're dominated by pride, by lust, by fear, by anger, if you are dominated by these things, by addictions, if you are dominated, then you're oppressed. And there's no reason to. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were under the dominion of those things, and to bring them out and translate them into the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of power. You have been delivered from so much that your mind has yet to figure it out, because we're watching the news, we're watching everything else, but we're not putting our eye here. It says, let these not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. Amen. How do you do that? Keep saying what you're seeing. Amen. You see it in the Word of God, say it. Declare it. This is me. This is mine. This is what I have. This is where I am. This is what I can do. This is what I know. Because the truth I know will bring freedom into my life, and I'm not possessed by any of those other mindsets.
Hallelujah, that's right. Hallelujah.
I am possessed by the truth. I have been recreated in the likeness of Jesus Christ. God doesn't see any difference between me and him. I am a joint heir with him, not a sub-heir. I'm a joint heir. And what he has been given to me. What he earned through his blood, what he earned through his wonderful works at the cross and everything, what he obtained, he freely shares with us. Amen. Because without us, it wouldn't make any sense for any of those things to even be. Without us, what he won would have been fruitless. So, it belongs to us. Yes, it's ours. Of course it's ours. Why else would he have done it? There's no reason why. Other than he loves you more than you can understand. He loves you. Say this, he loves me. He can't help it.
All the time.
I wasn't mine, by the way. That was Jesse's planus. The rage and cage. He says, God loves me. He can't help it. Well, he can't, because that's who he is. He is love. He doesn't have a choice about that. He's already given his choice to the cross, to his love for you, and paid the price for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So what we've got to do is we've got to say what God says about us. We've got to think what God says about us. We've got to believe what God says about us and not listen to anything less. And as when we start to listen to something less than that, there's kind of an alarm that should go off on the inside of us. Saying, no, that's wrong. I am not led by darkness. I will not follow the voice of another. I follow the voice of the good shepherd. He leads me to green pastures and pure waters. Simple dimple. Say what God says. Say, well, why do all these things bad happen to me? I haven't really done anything. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. I really haven't done that much wrong. I mean, come on. I went through a stop sign. I mean, I got pulled over. But, I go to work every day. I do this. I pay my bills on time. I mean, come on. God's going to send me to hell for a stop sign? No, he won't. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. Behold, you are taken with the words of your mouth. When you hear what the enemy says to you, when it comes to you in a thought, a suggestion, and you repeat it, you're doing exactly what Jesus told you not to do. He said, take no thought saying in the Sermon on the Mount. It all comes back to that. It all comes back to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said it somewhere. If it pertains to you, he said it somewhere in the Sermon on the Mount. Take no thought. That's the same word as receive. Receive says, when praying, believe you receive. Believe you take it and you shall have it.
Amen.
You are taken by the words of your own mouth. You are snared by the words of your own mouth. When you take a thought and you say it, you're confessing your faith in that. You actually become partners with the suggester of that thought. And you establish that thought in the earth when you speak it. This is why he said you're snared with the words of your own mouth. Don't tell me that what you say is not important. Well, I didn't really mean that. No, I don't. What does the Bible say? Look, we've got to really take, if you're going to walk in the reality of these things, you can't just let any words fly out of your mouth anytime you want to. Those words are seed, and they will bear fruit after their own kind, and they will grow up and become, and they will snare you. They will produce weeds that will choke the truth out of your life and make it unfruitful. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do you like life? Then speak life. Toby Mac had that song, speak life! Remember that song? Toby Mac, it's just speak life. I mean, if you have the choice of speaking anything, as long as you're in this earth, speak life. Speak blessing. Speak strength. Speak anointing. Speak power. Speak the glory of God. Speak it. Let it fly. Let it fly. That's get that song. That's a good song, Phil. Let it fly. Let it fly. Speak life. Oh, praise God. Now let's float over into the Spirit just a little bit here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1. This is what we were studying in Bible study the other night. And by the way, we have Bible study this week, right? Yeah, this Wednesday. But we're on 1 Corinthians 13. So it says, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. There's a lot of those floating around too. Bang, 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 bang. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries of all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. You know what nothing means? No, not one thing. And though I bestow all my goods to the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You want to overcome oppression in your life? Out of the core of your being, and let everything revolve around this. Love. Yes. Love what? Love people, because at the end of the day, Jesus loves people, and how you treat people is what he looks at. Yeah. How you treat people. Love the Word of God. Love truth. You know, when Moses' father-in-law told him, he says, look, what you're doing is wrong. You're judging these people all day and night. You're wearing yourself out. You're going to burn out, pal. He says, what should I do? He said, well, take these men, able men, who love truth. Love truth. Love the Word of God. The Word is truth. Love the Word of God. And you say, well, I can't really get into the Word. Put that is a lie of the devil. Just start reading it. God will start talking to you, and he'll start leading you into other scriptures. He'll start bringing it to life for you. It's unlike any other book ever written. It is a living word. It is alive with power. And in verse 8, look at that. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 says, love never fails. And this has a dual meaning. Actually, that's three, but we'll talk about two. Love never fails. Love never ends. It's eternal. Amen. Love never. The word never there gives it an eternal thing. It gives it an eternal status because love is of God. And everybody who's born of God loves, the Bible says. Love never fails. And it may seem like you fail when you love people and you speak to them, encouragement, and they turn on you like a snake. It may seem like you lost, but you didn't. Because love will outlast their attitude, which is temporary, their opinions, which are temporary. Love will change it. Love has the ability to change everything. You have that power inside of you because the Holy Ghost has been shed across. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost who was given to you. Hallelujah. And you have the love of God. You have the anointing of God. You have the dunamis power of God on the inside of you. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That means it's where we get the word edifice from. Edifice is a monument. You can't move it. You can't destroy it. You can't do it. When you pray in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself. You build yourself up. Jude 20 says, we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you're praying in tongues, you're building yourself up. You're also speaking the language of angels. And in prayer time right after worship? When you speak in tongues, you're giving assignments to angels in language they can understand. They're waiting for you to give them assignments. They can also understand English. They can also talk Alabama. They can speak French. And if they can understand an Irishman, I'll tell you. The thing is, your tongues mobilize angels. Angels are a ministry. And I believe it was Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. Referring to the angels, he says, in verse 14, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Minister means serve. Are they not all serving spirits sent forth to serve? The angels are at your disposal. You can ask God to send them. That's fine. Or you can send them yourself.
Amen.
Pray in tongues. They're designed to hear the word of God and hearken to it and respond to it. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, hearkening unto the voice of his word. They will hearken to your word. You are the voice of God in this earth. He that speaks an unknown tongue, no wonder you're edifying yourself. You're engaging angels on five continents just to get you something that you need. And there's so many testimonies that I've heard about people, airplanes flying over, seeing somebody stuck in the snow flashing his lights. And it happened to be the forest ranger of that particular who knew how to get a hold of somebody and get somebody up. God can do all that. Just pray in tongues.
Amen.
Pray in whatever the situation is. Pray in the spirit. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. And when you get tired of praying in tongues, pray in tongues. You're going to find that oppression has no place to hold on you. It's going to have no suggestion that is higher than your mind of Christ that lives in your heart. The mind of Christ is in your heart, by the way, and not up here. This is what you have to get renewed and to agree with the mind of Christ that's inside of you. And when you do, when there's an agreement here, then the anointing is released and it's unlocked in your spirit. What did Jesus say just before he left in the first chapter of Acts? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me. Not just, you know, Jesus loves you, and I love you, and you can be just like me. No, but when you see somebody limping through the park and say, hey, let me pray for you there. Let me pray and lay hands on them and start and watch them get healed. That's power.
Praise God.
That witnesses to what he did at the cross for them. That's the power of God that we need to see, that we need to activate in our, when you, let's go empty the hospitals, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I might get COVID. What? You know, I heard a pretty good one last night on Huckabee. He said all the Democrats that left Texas so they wouldn't have a quorum, you know, they got on a private jet, flew to Washington with a six or to get some beer, and you know what happened? They were diagnosed positive with COVID. So they left to drink beer up in Washington and got a case of Corona. I want to dance, 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 dance before the Lord. See, if they can't dominate you, they'll either run or try to destroy you somehow. But, you know, while we got the devil on the run, let's take advantage of it. While we got some momentum, let's bank on it. You know, just rest and let the grace of God just bring you along. Everybody say this, I'm free from oppression. I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Spirit of Christ.
I am baptized in power.
I have the anointing of God.
What I say
comes to pass
because I'm in agreement
with the eternal Word of God.
This is working for me
because God said so.
It's my inheritance.
And I'm enjoying my Father's inheritance.
I'm enjoying my Father.
I'm enjoying my Savior.
He's mine.
And I am His.
Along with everything I have,
everything I ever hope to be,
I owe to Him.
And He's mine.